This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. John Kerry accepts the Democratic nomination for president tonight at the party's national convention in Boston. The theme of yesterday's session was national security and, in particular, Kerry's credentials to be commander-in-chief. Kerry arrived in Boston alongside a group of Vietnam veterans, and the podium at the Fleet Center was filled with retired military officers praising his virtues as a battle-tested leader. The climax of the evening was when John Edwards accepted the nomination for vice president. He praised Kerry and repeated many of the populist themes he used during his unsuccessful bid for nomination. NPR National political correspondent Mara Liasson reports.
Last night, North Carolina Senator John Edwards got a chance to show voters why John Kerry picked him as a running mate. Edwards used all of the rhetorical skills he developed as a trial lawyer and on the campaign trail to make the case for Kerry.
Do you have any questions about what he's made of? Just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him then and who stand with him now. They saw up close what he's made of. They saw him reach into the river and pull one of his men to safety and save his life. They saw him in the heat of battle make a decision in a split second to turn his boat around, drive it through an enemy position, and chase down the enemy to save his crew. Decisive. Strong? Is this not what we need in a commander-in-chief?
This is the biggest hurdle Kerry must still overcome, because many voters tell pollsters they think George W. Bush is better able to keep the country safe. So yesterday, the Kerry campaign went all out to change their minds. With film testimonials from retired, high-ranking military officials like General Wesley Clark and the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, John Shalikashvili.
It says an enormous thing, amount about a man who in his young years would take the chance.
John Kerry was tested under fire, and clearly his service in Vietnam was some of the most difficult.
This country called, and he did his duty.
For a Democratic convention, Edwards gave a relatively hawkish speech, and he claimed a Kerry administration would be just as tough on terrorism as the president.
We will always use our military might to keep the American people safe, and we, John and I, we will have one clear, unmistakable message for al-Qaeda and these terrorists. You cannot run. You cannot hide. We will destroy you.
But there was less applause when Edwards stated, quote, "We will win the war in Iraq." There's a big disconnect between Kerry and Edwards, both of whom voted for the war, and the delegates on the floor. Their views were more accurately expressed by Jesse Jackson, who spoke earlier in the evening.
It's time to bring our troops home and send Bush back to Texas.
Kerry himself has refused to set a date for a U.S. pullout from Iraq. In fact, he told the Wall Street Journal that U.S. troops would probably have to stay for several more years. The Jackson speech was a sign that even in a convention as tightly scripted as this one, it's almost impossible to paper over all the differences in this historically fractious party. And sometimes the Kerry campaign's attempts to get all the speakers to avoid harsh attacks on President Bush was simply ignored. Al Sharpton, the civil rights activist who also ran for president, reminded the delegates that this year was the 50th anniversary of the landmark civil rights decision, Brown versus Board of Education.
I suggest to you tonight that if George Bush had selected the court in 54, Clarence Thomas would have never got to law school.
Sharpton submitted one version of his speech to the Kerry vetters, but the one he delivered from the podium was very different. Instead of his allotted 6 minutes of time, he spoke for 24, and he electrified the crowd when he answered President Bush's suggestion that the Democratic Party takes African-American voters for granted.
Mr. President, you said would we have more leverage if both parties got our votes. But we didn't come this far playing political games. It was those that earned our vote that got our vote. We got the Civil Rights Act under Democrat. We got the Voting Rights Act under Democrat. We got the right to organize under Democrat. Mr. President, the reason we are fighting so hard, the reason we took Florida so seriously, is our right to vote wasn't gained because of our age. Our vote was soaked in the blood of martyrs, soaked soaked in the blood of Goodman, Cheney, and Slater, soaked in the blood of four little girls in Birmingham. This vote is sacred to us. This vote can't be bargained away. This vote can't be given away. Mr. President, in all due respect, Mr. President, read my lips. Our vote is not for sale.
Although Sharpton got the loudest response of the evening, the night clearly belonged to John Edwards and to his family. His wife Elizabeth introduced him.
You know, I married the smartest, toughest, sweetest man I know. And in 2 days, we will celebrate 27 years of marriage. The way we always do. We'll do it the way we always do, at Wendy's.
The Edwards celebrate at Wendy's to remind themselves of where they came from before he was a multimillionaire trial lawyer.
My father, he worked in a mill all his life, and I still remember vividly the men and women who worked in that mill with him. I can see them. Some of them had lint in their hair. Some of them had grease on their faces. They worked hard, and they tried to put a little money away so that their kids and their grandkids could have a better life. The truth is, they're just like the auto workers, the office workers, the teachers and the shopkeepers on main streets all across this country.
Throughout his speech, Edwards used plain language to make a connection with ordinary Americans.
Tonight, as we celebrate in this hall, somewhere in America, a mother sits at her kitchen table. She can't sleep because she's worried. She can't pay her bills. She's working hard, trying to pay her rent, trying to feed her kids, but she just can't catch up. Didn't used to be that way in her house. Her husband was called up in the guard. Now he's been in Iraq for over a year. They thought he was going to come home last month, but now he's got to stay longer. She thinks she's alone. But tonight, in this hall, and in your homes, you know what? She's got a lot of friends.
Edwards laid out the Democrats' domestic agenda: tax breaks for health care and education, tax incentives for corporations to keep jobs at home, and a rollback of President Bush's tax cuts for people earning over $200,000 a year.
When you return home some night, you might pass a mother on her way to work the late shift. You tell her, hope is on the way. When your brother calls and says he's spending his entire life at the office and he still can't get ahead, you tell him, hope is on the way. When your parents call and tell you their medicine's going through the roof, they can't keep up, you tell them, hope is on the way.
After his speech, Edwards' telegenic family joined him on stage, his wife Elizabeth, two blonde-headed toddlers, and 22-year-old daughter Kate.
I was born in a small town.
Then the convention formally nominated John Kerry. He reached the required 2,162 delegates at 11:35 p.m., with the crucial swing state of Ohio putting him over the top. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Boston.
For a roundup of convention news, opinion, and analysis, along with audio of NPR's nightly coverage, visit our website, npr.org.